good morning, everybody, and welcome to Coffee and the Word on this beautiful spring Monday morning. It is going to be a great week. I hope that you are ready to power up with me as we look into the Word of God. And we are starting a series this week on the hope of healing. Last week, we talked about hope, how important it is, what it is, and one of the things that so many people are battling or in the middle of, or they're dealing with illnesses either in their own life or with family members. And so I just thought it was important for us to look at healing scriptures. Now, I know that this topic can be a little controversial. I also know that many times we pray for people and we don't see healing here on this earth. But we all know that when we leave this earth, which we are all going to do, this is a temporary journey, we are ultimately healed in the end because it is only the beginning. So what is the end for us here in this fleshly body? We have a soul and a spirit that lives on forever, and that's the part of us that we're actually aware of. And so the good news is that we don't stay in these earthly, earthen vessels forever. We're actually going to be transformed. We're actually going to be transformed into our heavenly bodies, where we're going to actually live forever and reign and rule with Jesus Christ. And so, you know, if you believe Scripture, then you know that to be true. So we know when God created the earth, it was a perfect place. He created humans. He put them in a perfect garden with everything they needed to be happy and healthy. And he only gave them one command. He said, do not eat from that tree in the middle of the garden. And so what did man and woman decide to do? Well, they decided to do exactly what God told them not to do, and they decided to eat from that tree. And from that moment on, there's been suffering because sin was brought into that perfect world and into that perfect garden. And so one of the effects of that sin, the sinful world we live in, are health issues. So the good news is God has given us his word, and he has given us instructions, and that's what the Bible is. It's literally an instruction book. It's an instruction manual for life, for every issue and every situation. The problem is that many people, in fact, I'd venture to say most people, are not reading the instruction manual. So how do we make it through this life victoriously? How do we navigate the storms of life without reading the instruction manual? So have you ever been working on putting together a piece of, maybe a piece of furniture? I know recently we bought a desk. And when it was delivered, instead of it being delivered as a desk, it was delivered in multiple boxes. And the boxes were short and flat. And I knew immediately that this was going to be interesting. This was not, it did not come as I had thought it was going to come. And so one of the things that happened, we immediately began to try to put the desk together without reading the instructions. And we all begin to laugh, and it was very, very obvious very quickly that we needed the instruction manual that came with the desk, because we were putting the wrong screws in the wrong holes and the wrong piece on the wrong, the wrong body. We were drilling new holes that never needed to be drilled. Anyway, it was kind of comical. But when we don't read the instruction manual in life, serious consequences happen, and so it's not that comical. It's not funny at all. So as we move in to Scripture, and I'm not going to give my opinion on healing because opinions really mean little to me. When other people are teaching and they give their opinion, I'm like, okay, great. We've all got opinions. I'm going to read God's Word. I'm going to read what the instruction manual says. So we're going to start, before we actually embark on these Scriptures, we're going to say a prayer. Father, we just come to you this morning, and Lord, we lay this at your feet. Father, I thank you that you've given your word to us, your holy Bible, the Scriptures, as a guidebook for our life, to give us clear direction, to give us basic instructions on what to do when we encounter various trials, various situations in our lives. So, Lord, we thank you for that word, and today we focus on that word when it comes to the hope of healing that you have literally laid out for us in your Holy Scripture. So, Lord, anoint this teaching. Father, I pray that it will be a blessing to many as they dial in and listen. And, Father God, I thank you that this word goes forth with power, Lord, the power to transform lives. And we just give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So here we go, guys. We have scriptures for healing. I found a website, and I'm going to put the link on Facebook. And it's 31 healing scriptures. It's literally a healing scripture for every day of the month. So if you know someone that is in a battle for their health, you might have them go on Facebook and find this link and click on there and print these off. So we have 31 healing scriptures for every day of the month. But right now we are going to focus on a scripture that is in Matthew 7. And it's verse 7 through 11. And you probably know this one. It simply says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. And then he goes on to say, which one of you, if your son asks you for bread, would you give him a stone? Or if he asked for a fish, would you give him a serpent? If you, then, who are evil by nature, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask? So we know that the first thing that we must do is we must ask. In the Amplified Bible, that really kind of it draws out the Greek and Hebrew meaning of the word, it says to ask and keep on asking, to seek and keep on seeking, and I believe it's a continual process. That doesn't mean that once you ask once in faith that God cannot move immediately to perform his word. He absolutely can. But if you don't see the evidence of the thing that you're praying and believing for, there's nothing wrong with continuing to petition him and go before him. And as you do, once you've asked him, then you begin to thank him for the result. So this is one of the keys we're going to really focus on today is we ask. We say, Father, I thank you that in your word says, by your stripes, I was healed at Calvary. So healing belongs to us. And that's the first thing we've got to understand. But just because something's been given to you doesn't mean you've received it. Because someone could purchase a gift for you that was very costly, and it could be very beautiful, and they could wrap it in a package, they could lay it out before you, but you have to open the gift, and you have to receive the gift. So Jesus says that by his stripes we were healed, and we know that those stripes were taken on the cross at Calvary. So one of the things that we do, first of all, is we have to believe that it is for us. We have to believe that those stripes that he took on his back were not for everyone but us. And sometimes I think we in our human minds think, oh, yeah, but I've done this, and I've been a sinner, and I've made mistakes. The enemy will try to come to you and say, yeah, you're not going to receive healing because, remember, you had an abortion back, 20 years ago. Or there's no way God's going to heal you because you've been divorced. There's no way God's going to heal you because just last week, you coveted or you lied. I mean, he's the accuser of the brethren. So we have to, when the enemy comes in to accuse you and to tell you why something isn't going to happen, that is something you're believing for and you're claiming by the right and the authority of God's word, you have to speak back to the enemy the word of God. Because it doesn't do any good to say, that's not true, leave me alone. But when you say, my God says that he will supply all of my needs. That includes healing, all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You have to speak back the scripture. That's why coffee and the word to me is so vitally important. It keeps me linked up to the scripture. It gives you just another opportunity to link to the word, which is the power to transform. We have to know the word, though, to be able to speak the word back when we are accused. So first of all, we go in and we know that it is available. Healing is available. So we're going to talk about, we're just going to go into this, these basic things that can hinder healing in our lives. Mark 11, 23 through 26 says, "Truly I say to you," and this is Jesus talking, "whoever," are you a whoever? I'm a whoever. "Whoever says to this mountain," says to this mountain. I want you to make a note of that. Whoever, that's you, and says. Okay, Jesus is saying you have to speak with your mouth. "Whoever says," okay, "to this mountain," and this mountain in your life could be an illness or a healing that needs to take place, the mountain. "Whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says, it will come to pass, and it will be done for him." He doesn't say it might, and he doesn't say anywhere the word maybe, and he doesn't say anywhere only some people. He says, "Whoever says to the mountain." So you got to say, you got to realize you're a whoever, you got to speak to the mountain, and then you got to banish doubt from your heart. Now, you can tell what a person really believes. You can tell if a person really believes in their healing. You can tell if a person really believes God's word by the words that they say, by the words that they speak. When you talk to them, I love, love, love my new friend Tina. I don't know if she's on the call today, but you know, years ago she was diagnosed with an incurable cancer, liver, liver. And I love the fact that she literally every morning gets up and flips her head over and speaks healing scriptures to her liver. The interesting thing is that her liver enzymes, her liver numbers, all of the things that should be in the natural deteriorating are actually improving. And the woman that should have been dead years ago, according to the medical doctors, is very much alive. In fact, she goes into the prisons with us to teach. And I got to tell you, you know, my friend Judy, many of you know Judy, was diagnosed 3 years ago with stage 3.5 terminal lung cancer. I was in there when the doctors told her, "You will, no matter what we do, no matter what we do medically, you will die within the next 6 to 12 months." And, you know, she had a choice at that moment to believe it. She had a choice at that moment to say, "Okay, God, the gig is up. I'm out of here." But basically, she made a decision to stand on the word, and I love what Judy said. Judy said to God, "God, you really don't need me in heaven, but you need me down here because there is a lot of work to do, and if you'll let me stay here, I will work for you." And girl, let me tell you what, guys and girls, she has lived up to that bargain that she made with him. And you know what? That was just her faith speaking out, saying, "There's work to do here. I feel like I'm supposed to stay here." And her faith rose up in her. I want to give you another example. And many of you that know me, you may know about this, or you may not have ever heard me even say this, because sometimes it's so far away in my mind, I don't even think about it. But when I was in my, I want to say I was 34. I was either 32 or 34. I was in my early 30s. I began to experience devastating fatigue. I'm talking about where I could barely get out of bed. My arms felt like lead. My legs would buckle out from under me. I could barely keep a straight thought in my head. I literally was, it was something like I'd never experienced, because I'd always been a very energetic person. And I was diagnosed with chronic fatigue syndrome, Epstein-Barr. I was told, in fact, I was given a pamphlet. I'll never forget this. The doctor gave me a pamphlet for Meals on Wheels. And he said, "People with your condition have to get on disability and are just unable to work." And he said, "I'm going to give you this pamphlet because these people will deliver meals to you, and you're going to need to file for disability." Now, this is when I was in my early 30s. And I'm going to tell you guys, in the beginning, I believed him. first of all, I didn't know then what I know now. And I will tell you that part of my journey of learning more about God and learning how to go deeper in His Word and learning that I didn't have to believe or agree with what was spoken over me and the diagnosis that was spoken over me has been my journey, my own journey to healing. So what happened with me is immediately I believed him, and I went home and went to bed. I was depressed. I visualized. You know what happens when we get a bad report is our mind starts to run away with us, and we start to visualize. Oh, my goodness, I visualized myself, you know, with Meals on Wheels and laying in the bed and not being able to work. And then at that time I had a thriving business. My business was booming. And I remember one day, laying in bed, and this was the beginning of the journey for me, I felt like the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, spoke to me and said, I did not create you with the personality that you have and the zest for living that you have. I did not create you to lay in this bed. I did not create you to be of no effect to the world. I did not create you to lay here and have to receive Meals on Wheels. Get up. Get up. And I'll never forget that moment that faith began to rise in me. And that is when I began to study healing and study healing scriptures. And I began to go to churches that taught on healing and the Word of God. And I believed for that. And I got received prayer for that. And it was actually a journey for me of several years to healing. But here's the key. I stumbled along the way in my learning process. And the great thing about learning and stumbling is that God is so merciful and graceful that every time we stumble, He just picks us up, He dusts us off, He sets us back on our feet and says, come on, girl, come on, guy, let's go again. And then He begins to lovingly teach us and take us where He wants us to go. What happened with me in that moment is I stopped relying on myself and I began to rely on God's ability to work through me. When I would feel fatigue come upon me and I would feel very weak in my body, I would begin to quote scriptures that simply said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I thank you, God, that when I am weak, you show forth your strength and your power. I thank you, God, that greater is He who is in me than he who is in the world. I can do all things through you, Lord. And I can remember driving to do a presentation or driving to my office or going somewhere where I knew I was going to be pouring myself out and feeling in my natural body like I had nothing to give. I was so drained, and I can remember very well, literally tears rolling down my face because my flesh and my natural mind is thinking, how am I going to make it through this night? How am I going to do this presentation when I ache all over and all I want to do in my natural is go to bed and pull the covers up over my head? And then God, I would quote those scriptures and I would drive in my car and I would speak the word and tears would roll down my face and I would get to my place where my presentation was going to happen and I would redo my makeup and I would get up and I would go in. And the power of God would come upon me. Now, there were times that just because I quoted those scriptures didn't mean that physically I felt better. I mean, I'm just going to be honest with you. It wasn't an instantaneous thing for me. But what I love about God is He took me through this process of teaching me to stand in faith for my healing. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Thank God His Word abides in me. Thank God that I allowed I made the decision to abide in Him. And then I let His words abide in me. And then I learned. I learned these things over time. I love this. We have to stand up, guys. We can't just take the diagnosis and agree with the diagnosis. And what happens is people begin to speak it. They begin to speak the diagnosis. They begin to say, my cancer, my arthritis, my fibromyalgia, they call it theirs. And I had somebody recently went up to Tina. I remember hearing her. It was so neat and interesting. They went up to Tina and they said, so what kind of cancer do you have? And she said, I don't have cancer. Now you may say, now wait a minute. She's diagnosed with cancer. No, she's diagnosed with cancer, but she's not claiming that she has it. She says the cancer that was diagnosed is, and you may think, well, that's so fanatical, but listen, guys, when you've been told you're going to die, you get fanatical. You know, we talk about fanatics all the time. You can be a football fanatic and nobody thinks anything of it. You can paint your face, rip your shirt off, and write your favorite team across your chest and act like a wild Indian, and people call that normal. But I'm going to tell you something. You get pretty radical, and you become a fanatic when you're told that you're not going to be of any effect, that you're going to lay in the bed the rest of your life and be a vegetable, that you're going to die in 6 months. I'm going to tell you guys, you'll get radical. You'll become a fanatic. And so I look at people like that, and it just does nothing but inspire me to know. So we've got to say, we've got to pray and ask, we've got to say and believe, and then we must go to where healing is. We go, in James 5, 14 to 15 says, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And listen to this, and the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if, now listen to this, guys, if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. And then he says, the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Okay, I want to break this down. Okay, is anyone among you sick? Okay, that's the first question. Okay, because in the natural, even though we don't run around saying we're sick, there's sometimes that sickness comes against our bodies. So we call for the elders of the church. Now, if you go to a church where the elders of the church don't believe in laying on of hands, anointing with oil, and praying for the sick, and that they shall recover, you need to go somewhere where they do. Because you can't go down front to a church where they don't really believe in that, and they don't necessarily believe it's God's will for you to be healed. Because your faith needs to link up with the person that's praying for you's faith. And it says, let them pray, anoint you with oil, and the prayer of faith. Okay, so that means you've got to go somewhere where the prayer of faith will be spoken over you and prayed over you, will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And then he says, if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. So, and we can go back through the scriptures, and we will in the next few days, where the disciples asked Jesus, you know, what sin did this person commit that they're sick? And Jesus said they didn't commit a sin, that it was a generational thing. So, you know, it's not always about something we've done. But he says that if we have committed sins, we will be forgiven when this prayer is prayed. And then he says, the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. So you leave that place having been anointed with oil, having been prayed for, and you know that that prayer is working. Your symptoms, your natural symptoms may not change at that moment. You may not feel any different. But it isn't about I want, I think, I feel. It's about I know and I believe and I have spoken. I know, I believe, and therefore I speak. And that is where the power comes in. So you leave that place and you thank God for your healing. When those symptoms try to come upon your body, you thank God that by your stripes you have been healed. When the doctor's report comes in and says nothing's changing, you say, Lord, I thank you that you are working mightily in my life. I thank you that the blood of Jesus, the healing power, the blood of Jesus that was shed at Calvary. You see, when Jesus died on the cross at Calvary, it wasn't just for your salvation. It was for your healing as well. It was for you to be saved, set free, delivered, healed, whole. And so it's so funny. We don't seem to have a problem receiving salvation from Jesus' death on the cross, but from that beating he took, from those lashes that he took, he bore our sickness and our diseases. It says that in the Word. Jesus himself bore our sickness and our disease. So it's so critically important that you know what you believe. And if you are listening to this call and you do not know what you believe, go find out. Discover. Get on your knees. Get in the Word. Go pull up the healing scriptures. Go study that for yourself. Because honestly, no one else can do it for you. Nobody could instantly pray for me and instantly, and I have to tell you, I thank God I wasn't instantly healed, that I didn't instantly have a manifestation of my healing. I thank God for that, because that journey of discovery for myself is what allows me to be able to do what I'm doing now. My goodness, if I had just gone down front and somebody had laid hands on me and zapped me and immediately I never had any more pain, never had any more fatigue, never had any more bad reports from doctors, gosh, I went through years of that battle. And thank God, I do not have any symptoms anymore. But I'm telling you now, it was years of standing on the Word, years of believing, years of training myself not to speak the illness, not to speak my feelings, not to speak what was my natural bodily. And I got to tell you, a lot of people don't want to hear this message. I have to, over the years, because of course I never went to bed, I never got Meals on Wheels, I never got on disability, I stayed very busy, very active with probably outwardly what appears to be more energy than many folks that never get a diagnosis like I got. But I have to tell you something. A lot of people would call and say, you know, I've been diagnosed with the same thing you were diagnosed with. Tell me how you're doing what you're doing. And I would tell them about, you know, exactly what I'm telling you now. And man, I'm going to tell you something. They didn't want to hear it. And I'm going to tell you how I know they didn't want to hear it. Because they'd say, yeah, but you don't know my situation. Yeah, but. And they'd begin to tell me all their reasons why their situation was worse than mine and their situation was different. So we're wrapping up our time today. I've got so much more to share with you. Wednesday and Friday are going to be powerful. Listen, guys, if you know somebody that is struggling with healing, and I will be amazed if you don't, I'm going to post this on Facebook. I'm going to send an email blast out to the Isaiah team. If you're on the Isaiah email blast, you can forward this out to a friend or a family member that is struggling with this. Send this to them, and maybe perhaps it will be a blessing to them. But it is so important. The Bible says, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." And the bottom line is, guys, there's a lot of information in the Word of God that people just don't know, or they've heard it and don't believe it, and many are perishing because of it. So today, we just simply laid a little foundation for where we're going with this, and it's amazing the information out there in the from the Word of God on healing. Once again, I want to reiterate, this is not my opinion. This is simply what I read in God's Word, and I have walked it out, have lived it, and thank God I'm surrounded by other people that I have seen walk it out and are walking it out now as we speak and are living it. And I'm telling you what, that's a living testament to the truth of God's Word. So I'm going to post these 31 healing scriptures, one for every day of the month. You might want to share those on your Facebook wall as well. And together, we're a mighty force for good. So I want to thank you for calling in for Coffee in the Word today. I want to pray a special blessing over you today. Lord, those that are listening to the sound of my voice, Father, I don't know all of their needs. I don't know their particular situations, but you do, God. And so, Father, right now we take authority over every assignment against their lives. We take authority over every ill word that's been spoken over them. We take authority over diagnoses. We take authority over the doubt that tries to come in and creep in, Father, that will try to negate your word. And, Lord, I just thank you that a mighty power rises up in them. We thank you, Father, for your anointing that breaks every yoke of bondage in our lives. And we just claim it for ourselves and believe it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all the people said, amen. Okay, guys, I hope you're powered up today. I hope you're excited. I'll be posting this on Facebook and the link to the 31 healing scriptures a little bit later on this morning. Pray for us today as we go to the prison. This is Ministry Monday at the Southeastern Women's Correctional Facility. We leave here at 2:45 to minister. We have a service at 4 and another service at 6 tonight. So I just covet your prayers as I'll be bringing a word to them at 4 and at 6, and to pray for our ministry team that's going in as well. And thank you to all of you who love God, who love his word, and who support Isaiah 30:18 Ministries. We could not do what we're doing without your love, your prayers, and your financial support. If you're not a monthly partner, become a partner with us. God has given us a big vision, and there is work to do. And wherever we go, when you sow seed, you're going in with us. So we love you guys. Thank you so much. God bless you. And power up today with the word of God. I'll hear you back on Wednesday morning at 9 o'clock. Bye, everybody.